Thanks, Phil. Really appreciated having an opportunity for silence in prayer. It was good, wasn't it? And I want to say thanks to Dicko. That's the most manly notice I think we've ever had. I felt the need when, Steve, when you got up here, I feel like the need to drop my voice about three octaves to get the... It was awesome, mate. It's going to be great. And so for guys, jump on board. Really good to do that. If you got a Bible with you, it'd be great if you open up to Acts chapter 2. And you'll be surprised this morning. We're going to read from verse 42 to 47. That's going to be a shock, isn't it? So let's open it up and we'll read these words together. All of the believers there devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper and to prayer. It says that a deep sense of awe came over them. All the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. All the believers met together in one place, shared everything they had. They sold their property, possessions, and shared the money with those in need. They worshipped together at the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, shared their meals with great joy and generosity, and all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. Now, this past week, I spent a few days in Adelaide at a pastor's gathering with maybe 80-100 of my colleagues from around Australia. And like when many of these conferences, if you've been to these sort of events, whether they're a work thing or whatever it is, they're often very multifaceted of things that are going on. And when we gather for this conference, and it's something I go to every year, it's really important in my ministry, I find, we take this opportunity greatly to encourage each other, to learn, to listen to God together. It has a real wonderful sense of iron sharpening iron, that sort of idea. And one of the questions that's commonly asked, as you can imagine, as much as I've got to say by ourselves as by each other, is kind of a rather obvious question. You ready for this? How's your church going? It's a shocking question, isn't it? I mean, how do you answer that? How do you answer that? I mean, if I asked you that question, what would you say? Now, you could use the three B's of Baptist churches: baptisms, bucks, and bodies. Some people even want to add a fourth B to it: buildings. Are they good measures? I mean, many of us are part of workplaces that have some sort of statistical measure that your workplace will put on a screen at some point in time. I mean, some of them measure profit or profitability. Some of them measure productivity, customer satisfaction, NAPLAN results. These might be helpful measures for a business or an organization. But what's a good measure for a church? What do you think? The truth is, it's really hard to measure, isn't it? Because how do we measure a human heart? How? I mean, I could take you with my wife, Narelle. Many of you know that she works in medical imaging, and she can take a picture of your heart. But that doesn't get to the core of your spiritual heart, does it? How do you answer that question? The prophet Ezekiel spoke about our hearts, didn't he? He said, I will give you, talking about this prophecy of what God would do, I will give you a new heart. A new heart. I'll put a new spirit in it. And I love this. I'll take out your stony, stubborn heart. It's kind of heart surgery in a major way, isn't it? I could ask people here to put up their hand how many people here have ever had a bypass or anything like that. I can see some hands. How many people have had this bypass? I'll take out your stony, stubborn heart and give you a tender, responsive heart. I'll put my spirit in you so you follow my decrees, be careful to obey my regulations. How's your heart? Or how might I say, how are you traveling spiritually? How's your heart? Are you dancing or drowning? Is soaring with God or indifferent? struggling in the wrestle but hanging in there. For those of you who know me, you know that I'm kind of like a number statistical type person. I could ask your spirituality how it is out of 10. I'm a 2, I'm a 6, I'm a 4, I'm a 9. In many ways, that would still be kind of a little bit superficial, wouldn't it? A little bit unsatisfactory. How's your heart with God? Or maybe I could ask you this question. Which direction are you traveling? Where's the arrow pointing? I'm drawing closer to God, or I'm running away from God? How's your heart? It's kind of a question that's pretty invasive, isn't it? Maybe it's even hard for us to ask ourselves. How do I measure my faith? As pastoral leaders, we're always reflecting, wanting to grow, improve, understand how the church is doing, how church life and people are traveling. And the truth is, as we know, it's actually impossible to measure. It's impossible to measure. So what we try to do is this. We try to measure things that point to our heart. We can't measure a heart. So we try to measure things that point to a heart. Because the things that we do kind of reflect who we are, don't we? Isn't that the case? Do you find that experience yourself? The things that we live out, our actions in life, display what's going on in our heart. I mean, God's Word talks about the fruit of God's Spirit, the things that God's Spirit does in us and how it shows out in the world. If the Spirit of God, according to Ezekiel, is living in our heart, transforming our lives, we begin to live in line with that, don't we? That kind of makes sense, doesn't it? I will give you a new heart, is the promise. Am I living that way? Does it look that way? I mean, if God changes our heart, surely behavior must kind of follow. I mean, Christianity is not just about kind of some behavior modification. It's transformation from the inside out. You see, our actions, in a sense, reflect the very nature of our heart. If we're people of faith, faith must always be expressed through action, mustn't it? Kind of that's the way that it fits together. I mean, when Jesus was one time speaking about people who were a long way away from God and people who are running in the wrong direction, this is what he wrote. He says, you can identify them by their fruit, that by the way they act. He says, can you pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Well, of course you can. You can see that. A good tree produces good fruit. A bad tree produces bad fruit. A good tree can't produce... This is very logical, this. It's profound. In fact, in its simplicity, that's the power of it, isn't it? Because it's easy to understand. And the thing about that, when it's easy to understand, the problem is that sometimes it actually kind of penetrates us even more. Because it's not something up in the sky, it kind of hits us right here, doesn't it? A good tree can't produce bad fruit. A bad tree can't produce good fruit. And as much as Jesus was talking about people who are running away from God in the other direction, you can flip it around, can't you? And say the same thing about people who are running to God and walking with God. We know that, don't we? Healthy trees produce good fruit. Inward transformation creates outward actions. Because faith is not really some kind of intellectual agreement, some sort of mental assent, is it? It's not just about religious language or even emotional feelings, because it becomes visible. That love is not merely felt, love acts, doesn't it? I mean, if true faith is hearing and doing, the wise builder was the one who hears and puts it into action. That's what Jesus takes us to a little bit later on in this chapter of Matthew. Listen to my teaching and follow it. not just know it, but live it. Because faith becomes real when it shapes what our lives look like, doesn't it? It's kind of really simple, isn't it? In fact, others will talk about it in the same way. So you might read James, who says that our faith without the action is dead. It's just a waste of time. John will write about how the love of God, if the love of God really gets into us, we must love others. The two of them are bound together, aren't they? How's your heart? How's your heart? Are you dancing or drowning? Maybe some of you ask the question, I know where my heart is, Andrew, and I'm not always happy with it. And you, I want to know, how do I recover my heart or repair my heart? Or how do I return to a first love? Or maybe for some of us here, we even want to understand what it is to love God for the first time. You know, last week, if you were with us last week, a few of us who maybe have been around a while and married for a while smiled when Matthew was speaking. If those of you who weren't here, Matt's one of our team, and he's the profound age of 25, and he's engaged and he's getting married in December. A really exciting time. And as part of his talk last week, he was sharing, and he was talking about how love results in action, and he had bunches of flowers which he gave in the service to his fiancée. You were here? You remember seeing that? Matisse has actually asked him to be preaching a lot more, so that... what comes first, the action or the love? We know, of course, that love leads to action, but can action also lead to love? In the marriage counselling world, this is an idea that's often discussed. For people who have been married for a while, maybe for some who have drifted apart, or maybe just going through the motions, the question's asked, how do they recapture love? One of the theories that's proposed and questions asked about is this: well, to the couple, how did you treat one another when you first began to love each other? What did you do? What did you say? In love, what comes first, the feelings or the actions? So one course of action proposed by some is they ask a couple, just for a period of time, might be 2 weeks, might be 4 weeks, to begin to do the things that they did for each other when they first fell in love. Kind words, opening doors, complimenting rather than criticizing, gifts or actions of love. In many ways, it's kind of a little bit of a debate of the chicken or the egg, what comes first. Does action sometimes rekindle love? Now, I've got to say, sometimes I'm not completely sure what comes first, but what I do know is love is not just thinking, it also results in action, and they are inextricably bound together. Now, we might ask the same thing, what comes first with faith? How's your heart? Thinking, feeling, action, they're all intrinsically connected. And so if we're seeking to repair our heart, recover our heart, return to a first love, maybe it requires action as well as part of it. Taking time to be silent, to meditate and pray. Or maybe it's to practice things like generosity and mercy and forgiveness. Or to read and to feed on God's word. To intentionally be grateful. To praise God. How's your heart? The writer of the proverb puts it in just the most simple and profound way, doesn't he? In Proverbs 4, some of you might know this, it says, above all else, guard your heart. For it is what? The well, in this particular translation, I like to use the NLT, it says, the wellspring of life. Others say, everything that you do flows from it. Guard your heart. Actions reveal the condition of our heart. Belief is not disconnected from our heart. The heart is the source of our words, attitudes, choices, and faithfulness. In fact, I might say to you that the fruit of your life grows from the roots of your heart. What fills our heart shapes our life. Now today I'm going to ask you to do something for me. Are you ready to do something for me? Gee, that. Testing, testing. Hello, hello, hello. Just Rusty? Yes? Rusty's giving me the thumbs up. It is. Let me ask that again. Are you ready to do something for me? Yeah, you're going to regret that. Because today I want to move you a little bit out of your comfort zone. Okay? During this series, we've talked a lot about faith in action. Matty said last week, really, he said it's a movement must have move in it, okay? Rather than me talk further about the action, I want to invite you to share how your action through this series is going, okay? That's what I'm going to invite you to do. Now, can I say, if you haven't been with us for the last few weeks, or maybe you're new, I understand that at this point in time, this might feel really awkward for you, okay? It's going to go for maybe like 5-6 minutes. And if that's the case for you, and maybe there's even, and I want to say this in the most sensitive way that I can, maybe even for some of us, we just don't feel comfortable to enter into this space, all right? I want to say to you, it's okay for you just to sit quietly. Maybe you want to have some time of silence and reflection. That's kind of been part of what our thing is today. So if you really don't, if you can't get into this space, I understand, okay? So don't feel that I'm completely strong-arming you. I'm not going to come down and grab you and make you do this, okay? But what I want to do is I want to invite you to turn around where you are. Maybe it's a group of 3 or 4 or something like that. Try and find, if I can say this, people that you at least you know a little bit and you can feel a little bit comfortable about. All right? Because what I'm going to ask you to do is this. Up on the screen, they're going to put, if you've got one of these cards, you should have got one of these cards on your way. And if you don't have one of these cards, I'm going to ask Barney, who's out in the foyer, and you want to grab a hold of one, stick your hand up in the air and Barney will make sure you have one. It has the 5 different paths that we've been talking about over these 5 different weeks. So just a reminder, there was the witness path. As part of the actions for that witness path, what we did, many of us wrote names up on these doors, names of people that we're praying for. And we learnt, one of the other things was about sharing our stories. That was kind of the actions from that. The second one that we talked about was the Bible path, and there's 2 kind of different aspects that we have talked about that as a church community. One is about, as a church community, we are going to be actively involved in helping to bring about a translation through some of our friends and partners with SIL to a language group in the Solomon Islands. And in a few weeks' time, at our anniversary at the 40th celebration, we're going to be taking up a significant offering for that purpose to do that. The other thing of the Bible path was to, maybe for some of us who have never done kind of regular Bible reading, to begin kind of a walk, run, soar type thing, maybe for a week or a month or a year. The third part of it was the neighbour path, where Cam talked about chaplaincy and neighbourhood chaplaincy. And I know that some of you are actually taking this on board. The fourth one was about the freedom path, where we're talking about being advocates for people who are persecuted and struggling in many countries around the world. And for some of that, we were talking about being part of petitions that are part of this church community that we're involved in. Some of it is on a global scale. Some of it is because of our refugee community right here that we are talking about, our friends in Karen State on the Thai-Burma border. And the fifth one last week was, Matt was sharing about the care path, about intentionally caring for people in very specific ways. So what I'm going to invite you to do is to turn into those group of 3 or 4, and I'll invite you to share maybe one of the weeks or one of the things that's kind of grabbed your attention a bit. Okay? One thing that grabbed you. It might be, I've been praying about this particular thing. I would like you to pray for me about this. So I'm going to invite you to do that. And so if there's 3 of you, you get 1 minute to share. And then you get 90 seconds to 2 minutes to pray briefly for each other in that group. You ready? Are you ready? Yeah. Okay, so I'm going to invite you just to spin around, find a couple of people that you feel comfortable to do that with right now. Our 3 minutes is up, so I'm going to encourage you to pray for each other, if you would do that, to pray for each other now. Amen. Thank you so much for participating. I want to commend you. If you've pushed yourself out of your comfort zone, thank you. Well done. There'll be time after the service. For those of you who aren't, Hospitality Sunday's on today, so there'll still be time. You know, following Jesus is not something that we just believe in our minds, is it? It becomes something that we embody with our lives. How's your heart today? How's your heart? Above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. For our God, I want to thank you that you, in your love and your mercy, you take our stony, stubborn heart and replace it with a soft, tender heart. Thank you that you take our pain and our anger and our greed and our selfishness, you take our sin and you wipe it clean. Thank you that you fill us with your Spirit and transform us. Father, I want to lift up people here right now who maybe feel like their heart needs some repair work. Father, I pray that you would give them courage to come to you. Father, for those whose heart has been wandering, may it return to its first love. Father, may you grow in us a heart of love for you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Thanks so much for being with us today. And I trust for each of us that you might have a real honest understanding of the nature of our hearts, where they're at. And maybe there's some of us who need to actually pay some attention to our hearts. After the service this morning, there's part of our prayer team down the front here. And if there's some things that you would like to kind of just sit with someone and ask them to pray for you, maybe to encourage you, that's a great opportunity. I'll be out in the foyer, and if you would like to pray with me, just tap me on the shoulder. I'd love to do that. But my encouragement for each one of us is, as we go into this week, that we would have some real sense of how I'm living out what my heart is. That there's not this disconnect between my heart and my life. I'd like to pray over you again. Is that all right? For our God, I pray for each person here today. Father, may you give them a new heart. Restore, repair, fill hearts with love. Father, for those who are ashamed, living in guilt, God, I pray that they would turn back to you and ask for their heart to come to the great surgeon and restore it to the way it should be. Hearts that are filled for you. Amen.